Blog Talk Radio.
Bom 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 dang 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 ding dong ding blue moon 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 blue moon dip 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 moon moon blue moon dip 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 moon moon blue moon dip 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 bom 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 dang 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 ding dong ding
blue moon. You saw me standing alone without a dream in my heart.
Dang it, dang, dang, ding it on.
Blue moon, you knew just what I was there for. You heard me saying a prayer for someone I really do care for. And then there suddenly appeared before me the only one my arms would ever.
Dang it, dang, dang, ding it, on, ding, boo.
Oh, 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 oh,
dang it, dang, dang, ding it, on, ding, boo. Oh, 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 bomb, 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 dang, 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 ding, dong, ding, blue moon.
Hi, you boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book and radio show. I couldn't watch that Hollywood production last night, and the reviews are mixed. Some people said it was one of Obama's greatest speeches, and Mike Savage said it was a bit much. All I know is that every time I turned around, well, Obama is, he wrote the speech himself. Oh, he's getting on the plane, and you can follow him. You can follow him on Twitter. Unbelievable. I ran out, and what I did was I bought him identification of protection, being that people are still questioning whether or not he's an illegal alien from another planet. It's unbelievable. What I didn't like, it looked like a convention, a Democratic convention, and I recalled the funeral for Paul Wellstone, who was killed in a plane crash, and they had a ceremony to honor his service. Two of his services were one to vote to burn the flag and the other to kill kids. And they ran a convention at his service. And his son jumped up on the stage and he started to go Trotsky-like. I was waiting for the red flags and banners and hammers and sickles to break out. And they went into a fever. They got a demonstration fever. This is for a guy that's in a box. Unbelievable. And here I saw the same thing. That's why I couldn't watch it. So what I would do is, as soon as I got disgusted, I would change the channel, and I would go to the military channel, and I'd watch South Koreans being allowed back into a city that the North Koreans and the Chinese had destroyed. And I saw one guy and he was blessing himself on a boat that was taking him back. He was glad that he made it that far. They had to cross a river to get back to their city. And then I flipped back to see how this show was going. And I thought at one time it was going to be the Academy Awards. And I'd like to thank the sheriff who paid his dues to the party and blamed it all on Sarah Palin. And then I see that the Anti-Defamation League accused Sarah Palin of anti-Semitism. You know what the difference is between the Anti-Defamation League and the communist-controlled NAACP? The color. It's the only difference. But anyway, so I flip back, and here she is coming to the podium without her shopping bags. The last time I saw her was a week ago. She was getting off an El Al flight. No, she was on America Air Force 2.5. She had a big jumbo jet, took it to Israel. She wanted to find out how the Israelis were preventing the Mexicans from crossing the border. And then she went and she bought a duty-free Knish, and she came back, and she was getting off the plane in, I think, in Washington, and she was coming off with three shopping bags, all duty-free stuff. And it only cost you and me, oh, probably about $300,000. $700,000, whatever. A woman's got a shop. And then I turned it off and I went back to the military channel and I seen these poor bastards dying in Korea so that America could live one more day. And then I flipped back and who was coming to the podium but Eric the Bagman Holder. He is the one who, he's a program packager for Bill Clinton. When Clinton wanted to sell his pardons, Eric Holder packaged up everything so it would look good. You know, like he got the Mark Rich the pardon, and Bill got a champagne contribution. And for his government service, Bill Clinton and his illustrious wife, who compared this one crazy guy who looks a lot like Chris Matthews. This shooter in Arizona, she compared him to all of Al Qaeda. You know, those couple of guys in Al Qaeda that have reduced the Christian population in Pakistan to 2% of the nation. Yes. And the last casualty in Pakistan was a lawyer. A Christian lawyer who defended a Christian who was charged outrageous interest rates. And for his reward, for serving the people, the Muslims killed him, his wife, and five children. Gunned them all down together as a family in the home. They're homebodies, these Al-Qaeda guys. Yeah. And don't forget that it's just a handful. It's only a handful. It was only 19 that flew those planes in shouting Allahu Akbar. But there's an awful lot of imams that are promoting bad news for the infidel. So having said that, let me switch over. Oh, and then Eric Holder came to the podium, and he read from the Bible. He read the passage where the lion shall lie down with the lamb and up until lunchtime. And then he showed his Dead Sea Scrolls, which were actually arrest warrants for the United States Border Patrol and the guards at Gitmo. And we're in trouble, as my buddy used to say, we're all up the fat lady's burqa, and we're in trouble. And so I thought I would cheer you up. Somebody sent this to me, and I'm going to read it to you because you're going to enjoy it. And he said, this is worth reading and thinking about. And you might have seen this because it's been around on the internet. How many taxes can you think of that you're paying? Off the top of your head, just name the taxes that you're paying. How many are you rolling off? 5, 6, 7, 8? Can you get to 8? How about these? A building permit tax. A CDL license tax, a cigarette tax, a corporate income tax, a dog license tax, a federal income tax, a federal unemployment tax, a fishing license tax, a food license tax, a fuel permit tax, a gasoline tax. If the mafia was doing this, they'd be taking a cut out of everything. It's the same thing. gasoline tax, hunting license tax, inheritance tax, inventory tax. And in New York, they used to have a vault tax. If you had a file cabinet below ground, you had to pay a vault tax. IRS interest charges, tax on top of a tax. IRS as penalties, tax on top of tax. Liquor tax, luxury tax. Marriage license tax, Medicare tax. Property tax, real estate tax. Service charge taxes, Social Security tax. Road usage tax. Sales taxes, about lease taxes. State income tax, school tax, recreational vehicle tax, state unemployment tax, telephone. This is where they go. The phone company is not working for the government. You leave us alone, Mr. Government, and we'll collect all your taxes for you, no charge. Telephone federal excise tax, telephone federal universal service fee tax, telephone federal state and local surcharge tax, telephone minimum usage surcharge tax. See, if you don't use the phone, they tax you. And you know it's coming, toilet paper tax, and they're going to put a meter in your house. And once a week, a maid's going to come in and take the coins out. And if you get caught with an expired meter, they're going to put a boot on your toilet seat. And then if you don't pay the fine, they're going to tow it away with the tow truck. Telephone state and local tax, telephone usage charge tax, utility tax, vehicle license registration tax, vehicle sales tax, watercraft registration tax, well permit tax, workers' compensation tax. And we think we left British rule to avoid so many taxes. Well, the Brits got many taxes, too. I got a feeling one day half the Americas are going to be speaking English with an accent. And you still think it's funny? Okay. Well, this is what the guy says. Now, one of these taxes existed 100 years ago, and our nation was the most prosperous in the world. We had absolutely no national debt. We had the largest middle class in the world, and mom stayed home to raise the kids. What happened? Can you spell politicians? There should be only one term for a termite. There's no reason to let any politician stay in office more than one term. And the term should be 4 years. We should have a rapid exchange program. So this guy also asked me, how many zeros in a billion? Do you know how many zeros in a billion? 9. This is too true to be funny. A billion is a difficult number to comprehend. A billion seconds ago, it was 1959. A billion minutes ago, Jesus was alive. A billion hours ago, our ancestors were living in the Stone Age. A billion days ago, no one walked on the earth on two feet. Except the Christians. $1 billion ago was only 8 hours and 20 minutes at the rate our government is spending it. While this thought is still fresh on your brain, let's take a look at New Orleans. It's amazing what you can learn with simple division, which nobody knows today. Louisiana Senator Mary Landrieu, by the way, Mary Landrieu, she's a flag burner. I'm not sure if she's a baby killer, I'd have to check. But I know she's a flag burner. And when she was running for re-election in 2004, she told the people of Louisiana she would support Bush, and they let her back in. And as soon as she got back in, she stuck it to George. So she's presently asking Congress for $250 billion to rebuild New Orleans. Interesting number. What does it mean? Well, if you're one of the 484,000 residents of New Orleans, that's every man, woman, and child, you each get $516,000. If you have one of the 188,251 homes in New Orleans, your home gets $1,329,000. Or if you're a family of four, your family gets $2 million. How's that? Still sick? Okay. We're coming up on the rest of the evening, and we're going to be doing Chapter 5. I'm looking forward to Chapter 6 because it's when drugs entered Vietnam and corrupted the U.S. military. But we're doing Chapter 5 tonight. I'm going to give you a tune, and then when I come back, and it's funny, I was just talking today about when we grew up that everybody had a suit and wore a suit, and guys that were hanging out on the corner on Sundays all had suits on. All had suits on. And Savage said the same thing tonight. He was talking about he was watching a French film of the 50s, and everybody was wearing suits. And today, come as you are. So I'm going to give you a tune, and I'm going to give you a tune that's by a boy from the Bronx named Machito. And at the time, this boy was in his prime. He had a band. They called it an orchestra. And mambo was the big thing. And you know who liked the mambo and cha-cha the most? Jewish people. Jewish people loved it. They used to go to the Catskills, to the Jewish Alps, they used to call them, and dance the night away, all doing the mambo. So I'm gonna play you a tune that Machito arranged as a tribute to the people who were buttering his bread. And this is Machito's version of Hava Nagila.
Thank you. Okay, we're back. We've been doing chapter by chapter on a book written by Dr. Joseph Douglas, the world's leading expert on the political use of narcotics. And most of the information comes from a general named Jan Sagina, who was high up in Czechoslovakian government and military, and he defected to the West. And he's the one that opened everybody's eyes up to the Soviet germ warfare using drugs. And basically, how this book gets started, it goes back to China in 1928, when Mao began develop opium, to grow poppies for the opium trade. And he called it the Second Opium War, meaning the first one was the British who poisoned the Chinese with opium to subdue a country. And this was his version of payback to the West. By the 1940s, they had established trading facilities to develop a huge potential market. And the Soviets picked it up and went into competition with the Chinese without telling them. So they let the Chinese do the Asian market, and the Soviets went and did the European American market, and eventually they went into the Latin American market with the help of Fidel Castro. So those are the first three chapters, and then in the fourth chapter, Khrushchev takes over and becomes the head man for narcotics and addiction development. And you can see how they corrupted thousands and thousands of millions of people, and at all levels. And, you know, it's like a disease, you know. If somebody's got it, you don't want to catch it, but you're not sure who has it. And that's what drug corruption does. So now we're up to Chapter 5, and it's called Organizing for Druzhba Narodov, okay, and which was the name of their operation, which means Friendship of Nations. In the West, when people speak of intelligence operations, what they normally have in mind are covert operations run out of a nation's intelligence service, such as the CIA, the KGB, or the GRU. This concept does a great disservice to communist intelligence operations, which involve many agencies, not just the KGB or the GRU, and which are generally not directed by the intelligence services, but rather by the Defense Council, administrative organs, or any appropriate party organization. That is, intelligence operations are Communist Party operations designed to serve state interests, which only the party can establish. The intelligence service is strictly an instrument of party strategy. Again, in contrast to the United States, which has no counterpart strategy. The operation known as Druzhba Narodov, Khrushchev's clever Friendship of Nations plan, is especially interesting because of the insight it provides into the nature of Soviet intelligence operations. Even in the beginning, in the mid to late 1950s, the drug and narcotics operation involved more than intelligence officers. Medical science personnel were heavily involved in analysis, research, and testing. The principal motivating force was Nikita Khrushchev, the first, later General Secretary of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union, CPSU. Initial planning was conducted by a special joint civilian-military Czechoslovak Soviet team mentioned previously. The incorporation of drug trafficking strategy into national security planning was handled by a special committee under the direction of Leonid Brezhnev.
This committee, which met between the fall of 1956 and the spring of 1957, was responsible for the comprehensive upgrading of Soviet strategy to bring it into the nuclear age. Brezhnev's deputy was Mikhail Suslov, the head Soviet ideologist. Subcommittee leaders were Marshal Sokolovsky, Dmitry Ustinov, Boris Ponomarev, and General Nikolai Mironov. He was from intelligence. Two revisions of Soviet strategy with respect to drugs and narcotics emerged during the course of this review. The first involved an official recognition that drugs should be important weapons for use in weakening opposing military forces. Secondly, it was realized that drugs could be used to influence bourgeois leaderships in the Third World and among social democratic parties in Washington, although none were to be excluded. Now, just from that last paragraph, used weakening opposing military forces, this nut that just killed six people and wounded, I think, 14 in Arizona, he was rejected by the military because he failed. He failed the drug test. Okay? Imagine if he had gotten into the military and did what he'd done. And the other thought that comes to mind is Washington is a cesspool of overdoses, congressmen cheating on their families, and they're all targets. They all have moral weaknesses, and they're all targets for Soviet exploitation, which goes on to this day. If you're down in Washington, D.C., and you're a congressman, and you're raising a second family without your first family knowing it, and somebody approaches you and says, I'm going to blow the whistle on you unless you do this and that for me, what do you think he's going to do? He already chucked his first family into the toilet. You think he's going to become a man of principle and stand for old America? You got to be kidding. Responsible for market, and I'm the most naive guy in the world. Responsible for market analysis and targeting was assigned to the International Department of the CPSU. The International Department was also involved in the collection of corruption, information on foreign leaders, and its use in either blackmail, intimidation, or exposure operations. This department was also heavily involved in propaganda, planning, and would probably have made the critical decision to release information on Chinese drug trafficking to the propaganda operation. So the Russians would give up the Chinese to keep covering themselves. Take the focus off of them and put it on the Chinese, which is an old tactic. They do it all the time. The main political administration of the Army and Navy, the department that keeps ideological watch over the military, was also involved in the drug trafficking operation from the beginning. Oh, you mean like those Russian fishing boats? Fishing for drug addicts? As early as 1956, and don't let the year fool you, these are back in the 50s. Can you imagine how advanced they are today? Because this is ongoing. The Czechoslovak leadership was advised by Soviet General Kalashnik, the ideologist at the main political administration, about a new view on drugs and other chemicals capable of affecting the mind and behavior of millions of people. During Korea, these people experimented with American minds, POWs. And South Korean POWs. These are ruthless people. They have no qualms about killing you or me. They can do it and have tea right after. This was one of the five new weapons which could destroy the enemy before he can destroy us. The other weapons included the ideological offensive, which meant propaganda and deception, which you just seen a sample of on this murder of the six people in Arizona, where the Communist Party of North America blamed Sarah Palin and the Tea Party people. Have you ever seen the Tea Party people? You know who they are? They're your grandpa and your grandma. They're ex-veterans. They're real Americans. They are harmless people. All they want is a fair shake for America. They want a fair shake for their grandchildren. And you're letting these scum rats label them as anarchists. Where are you going to be when they go? And God help you when they go. The other weapons included the ideological offensive, which meant propaganda and deception. I just got to say this. Every mother is raising a child today to be war-free. My child will not be involved in war, will not be in the military, will never serve. My child is going to live a good life. That's what you think, lady. Your child will be conscripted when the front line has been wiped out and may be sent to the front without any training. So you keep voting for the wrong people, and you won't have a leg to stand on. Good foreign policy designed to split the West, isolation of the United States, and economic and social chaos. We don't have social chaos now. You see what's coming for these teenagers in the new TV series. There's one out now. Forget about it. Fifth graders know how to do BJs. They're talking about a possible drug problem. What possible drug problem? We're so inundated with drugs that if they stopped the supply of drugs today, it would take 20 years to use up all that's here waiting to be sold. You have no idea what's going on in this country. Keep watching Oprah. It was essential. General Kalashnik explained that the military should hasten to understand that there were weapons of great effectiveness other than conventional and nuclear weapons. You know, I took some Arab lessons and I had a great teacher. And I was more interested in history and the culture. And he told me a story about a great warrior who was planning to invade Egypt. And he sent scouts to scout the Egyptian people. And his scouts reported back. You know what they said? The women are beautiful, and the men have bent necks. You know what that means? They're pushovers. And when somebody thinks that we're a pushover, we're in trouble. A similar explanation was provided by Khrushchev in the early summer of 1963 in Moscow. During an informal discussion, Khrushchev had just criticized Marshal Rodion Yamalinovsky for being in far too much of a rush to push his tanks into the West. Then Khrushchev explained that the Soviets were operating at two strategic levels simultaneously to engage the West in war. The first echelon was deception. I just flashed in my mind. Stalin was in a conference and was told that we have to destroy the Vatican because they're a threat. And Stalin said, "How many tanks does the Pope have?" Well, you know who won on that one, don't you? The first echelon was deception. They should canonize him just for bringing down the Soviet Union. Because if it wasn't for him, I'm sure it would have taken a lot longer. And he gave Poland freedom. He's the one who freed the Poles. And they loved him. They loved him. And I still remember the first time he went back there as Pope. And he started singing a Polish folk song. And tens of thousands of people just swelled in a chorus. And speaking of that, I saw a video today that's fantastic. It's a little 9-year-old girl, still alive. And she's at a football game. And she has a nice voice, and they asked her to sing the Star Spangled Banner. So she comes out to sing the Star Spangled Banner. And if I find this video, I will definitely be emailing it to a lot of people. I looked on YouTube today. I didn't see it. So she starts singing the Star Spangled Banner, and she's got about one-third of the way through, and the mic goes dead. and she continues singing. And all of a sudden, the whole audience sings. Fantastic. Fantastic. And everybody knew the words. So the first echelon was deception, disinformation, and propaganda. The second echelon was the destruction of capitalism by their own money. Isn't that what's happening today? Chinese money. American dollars are being used to build a Chinese military. American steel plants are now in China building tanks and ships. Who sold us out? Somebody sold us out. There was nobody at the gate saying, close the gate. There was nobody there, only the ones who opened it. We've been taken down on so many levels, it's ridiculous. You don't need tanks and you don't need planes when you've got a nation on dope. The first echelon was deception. And remember, the Greeks disarmed the Trojans with a gift. The first echelon was deception, disinformation, and propaganda, which is going on today inside the United States. The second echelon was the destruction of capitalism by their own money through drugs. When I watch these poor Mexicans coming across this goddamn Rio Grande, I watch these people coming from all Latin American countries up through Mexico to get to the United States. And if you think they're coming in droves now, wait till the drug lords take over the government or go up against the government toe-to-toe. And there's nothing but blood running in the streets. You're going to get more Mexicans into the United States than you can shake a stick at. And they're all going to be asking for political asylum. And then what are you going to do? No green card, political asylum. Here's 20 million coming over the border tomorrow. Once these two echelons have been successful, Khrushchev emphasized, then you can use the third strategic echelon, our tanks. As the Soviet bloc, and the Soviets are rebuilding their military. They jumped and scrapped everything else. They sold all their materials to the Chinese. They even sold their old aircraft carrier to the Chinese, who they say are going to build it as a gambling casino. Yeah, they're going to gamble with your life. As the Soviet bloc, and you know what? Things don't go the way you think they're going to go. There are three plans in life, yours, mine, and God's. And let me tell you something. What comes up on the horizon tomorrow wasn't seen yesterday. As the Soviet bloc drug offensive grew and matured, the organization became more complex. But with control and secrecy remaining extremely tight, there is another characteristic. This is another characteristic of Soviet operations. Just because an operation expands, it does not follow that control over information becomes loose. The Defense Council itself is a case in point. The Defense Council remains small precisely in order to maintain tight control and good security. And here we got one private who happens to be a don't ask, a don't tell private, okay? And he has access to 250,000 documents in a download on a Lady Gaga album. Are we in trouble? You bet your ass we're in trouble. You have no idea. All the people that can help us have walked away throwing up their hands. Very few people are hanging in there. Because it's an uphill fight and you can't get to the top. Because the top is already covered. You think Eric Holder is looking out for the United States? No way. He's an internationalist. You think Obama bin Laden is looking out for the United States, who went around apologizing? Somebody sent me photos of 10 cemeteries in Europe that are full of Americans. A lot of them are in France. And I think the total number of bodies that are buried in those cemeteries was over 200,000. And they said at the bottom, please don't apologize for us, Obama. We're the ones that should deserve the apology. And those guys are all World War II guys who died and were buried over there. And they're all crosses. All 10 pitches, all crosses. And we can't even keep a cross up in a World War I cemetery out there in the desert. The special Czechoslovak organizations that participated in the drug business are identified in Figure 1 on page 49. And I'll read them quickly to you when I get there. The organizational structure applied in Czechoslovakia paralleled the organizational structure in the Soviet Union. Certain organizational names are different. For example, the Czechoslovak counterpart of the Soviet International Department was the Foreign Department. The first secretary was the General Secretary in the Soviet Union. And the Czechoslovak Second Administration under the Ministry of Interior. You can see these are all government agencies that are promoting this. The death of America through drugs. The principal differences are that the Soviet organizations make strategic decisions of global scope and are larger, and that there are organizations in the Soviet Union which are responsible for foreign communist parties which have no counterpart in Czechoslovakia. This particular distinction could be regarded as especially important. For example, important inputs to the development of drug trafficking strategy in Latin America were provided by the local communist parties, which would meet each year in Moscow and present their assessments of the progress of their drug operations, making recommendations in new techniques, markets, and tactics. As in an all-important operation, the Secretary General was not only informed, okay, and then I'm going to go to page 49, but something came to mind. I'm just going to tell you about it. Now, this is a story that I heard, and you'd have to Google it to find out if it's true or not. During the Spanish Civil War, the communists in Spain, who were killing priests, wherever they conquered and were successful, they took all the gold. And they looted. They took all the treasures of Spain, and they put them in, of course, their treasury. And as Generalissimo Franco was winning and getting stronger and eventually cleansed Spain of the communists. Well, he didn't really cleanse them, but they went underground. They had to surrender and go underground. The Communist Party of Spain shipped all their booty to the Soviets. The Soviets said, no problem, ship it to us, we'll protect it for you until you get back on your feet. And when they showed up in Russia to claim their booty, the Russians said, what booty? We have no booty. You have to shake your own booty. Okay, so having said that, let me just read you, organizing the Druzhba Narodov, the government and the party. In the government, this is who was active in promoting a drug distribution. The Ministry of Interior, the Second Administration, Strategic Intelligence, Agent Networks, Counterintelligence, the Finance Administration, the Ministry of Defense, Intelligence Administration, the same thing again. Rear Services, Health Administration, Department of Technical Support for Foreign Countries, Ministry of Finance, the Military Section, Academy of Sciences, Ministry of Foreign Trade, Main Technical Administration, the Foreign Ministry, and the State Plan Commission. In the party, the Central Committee, the Administrative Organs Department, the Main Political Administration, the Foreign Department, the Health Department, Propaganda and Agitation Department, how's that one for a title? Finance Department, Science Department, and the Highest Party School. Okay, so where were we? So the Secretary General played a lead role in respect of planning and direction. The real power in the Soviet system resided in the Central Committee departments. One of the two or three most important departments was the Administrative Organs Department, which was the center for planning and control of drug operations in both the Soviet Union and in Czechoslovakia. I think right now in Russia there are 3 million heroin addicts. Check me out. Check the stats. I'm sure that we'll both be pleasantly unpleasantly surprised. Wherever these drugs go, they take a toll. Many a pusher has lost a kid to drugs. This was probably the case in the other satellites as well. The Administrative Organs Department exercised control and oversight over the intelligence services, the military, and socialist justice, whatever that is. Thus, it was only natural that the Administrative Organs Department would be the lead central committee department in respect of drug operations. It is no mere coincidence that when Khrushchev wanted the drugs offensive to be intensified in 63, he called upon Major Nikolai Savinkin, the deputy head of the Administrative Organs Department. So this is all about the structure of the party. Within the Administrative Organs Department, there were officials whose responsibilities were in effect to watch over the military and intelligence organizations. Also, political officers were located within the military and intelligence organizations, who in addition were members of the appropriate sections of the administrative organs. Another organization of importance in maintaining control and internal security was counterintelligence in the headquarters of Czech military intelligence. So you can see the drugs is a military operation. For sure, drugs is a military operation. There was a section of military counterintelligence, which was really a section of the Ministry of Interior. See, when we think of Ministry of Secretary of Interior, this guy's out there talking to the squirrels. The Soviets, this guy has emphasized this in Heavy Black. The Soviets trust nobody, and their organizational structure has always reflected this principle. Everyone is controlled three ways. This is interesting. This is one reason why several officials from Cuba, Nicaragua, Bulgaria, or from some other communist state were found to be involved in drug trafficking. It was always highly unlikely that these were just a few corrupt officials. The party was almost certainly well aware of what they were doing, and in fact not only approved the operation, but probably directed it to be carried out. Indicative of the party's oversight and discipline in drug operations was the fact that in 1959, chief of the Czechoslovak Z's, General Ratchek, was fired following an inspection by the Administrative Organs Department official who was in charge of Z's and military counterintelligence. In his report, he criticized General Rasek for not putting the best people into the drug business. Rasek had failed to recognize how important the drug business would be for intelligence operations. Both civilian and military intelligence had narcotics responsibilities. However, because production was controlled by and within the military, and because the military was responsible for destroying the ability of an enemy population to support a war effort. Now, if you can see how these guys are so heavily involved in drug distribution and marketing back then in 1959, think about this. There's a guy in an American jail we just got our hands on waiting a year while he was incarcerated in Thailand. And his name is Victor Butt. And Victor Butt is the biggest arms salesman, or one of the biggest arms salesmen, with Soviet connections. As a matter of fact, he does deliveries in Soviet warships, and he does deliveries in Soviet planes, okay? And he's supposed to be a freelancer. And some people say he also did work for the CIA, okay? Sometimes we dance too close to the fire. Civilian intelligence, the second administration in Czechoslovakia, the intelligence component within the KGB and the Soviet Union, assisted whenever their resources were better suited to the task and where military intelligence did not have opportunities for trafficking in drugs. Most of the narcotics agent operations were handled within the strategic intelligence sections of the civilian and military intelligence organizations. Agent recruitment, training, administration was handled by Agent Networks branch, but the narcotics operation was run by the strategic intelligence branch. So intelligence is gathering of information on your enemy, and narcotics is a way to do it. This branch was responsible for establishing production quotas in respect of drugs produced in Czechoslovakia and for coordinating and directing overseas local drug production, for coordinating a transportation, for managing agent operations, and for overall foreign operations planning. I remember seeing a documentary where they went into Colombia and one poor guy with a wife and a couple of kids, he was a little factory, you know, growing his portion and working his portion, you know, in a little a lab for money. And he only had two problems. One was he couldn't stop, and two, if he did, he was dead. Counterintelligence and military counterintelligence, the business of which is security, were also involved. Their mission was particularly complicated in overseas operations and required the assistance of foreign communist parties and strategic intelligence agents operating within the country of interest. Man, anybody can come into this country. You don't even need a passport. You can come in here so fast. I have an uncle who came into this country illegally. He came in through Canada. He had been working in the wheat fields in Saskatchewan. He came into the United States, came into New York, because all his kin were here, but he didn't like it, and he turned himself in, and he got a free ride back to England. And that's how easy it was back in the 40s to get in here. And now it's even easier. You can come in as a student and get lost, and nobody's watching the students, and the Soviets know that. And so do all our enemies. Counterintelligence and military counterintelligence, the business of which is security, were also involved. Their mission was particularly complicated in overseas operations. One of the things I got a bulletin on today was from the Cardinal Newman Society. They're staunch Catholics, and they're upset that the Catholic universities are now selling condoms in the bookstores. How's that? You don't even have to go to eHarmony.com. You just got to go to the bookstore. This mission was particularly complicated in overseas operations. And you know what goes with that, don't you? Abortion clinics. Right now they're outside the campus. And required the assistance of foreign communist parties and strategic intelligence agents operating within the country of interest. And I watched a doctor on TV today talking about abortions due to preference for sex. In other words, we wanted a boy and this is a girl, it killed a girl. Of course, they don't say that. They doctor it up. Financial records, budgeting, and bookkeeping were handled by a special finance section within each intelligence service. In the case of Cuba, both the Z's, looks like I'm not going to be able to finish this. We're down to 6 minutes. We'll see what happens. In the case of Cuba, both the Z's and the second administration helped to set up relevant drugs operation in a joint venture from the outset. See, my version of a venture is we go to manufacturing batteries and we supply the technology. These guys are all in joint venture in drugs. As explained earlier, when Raul Castro was in Czechoslovakia in the summer of 1960, he signed assistance agreements with both the Minister of Interior. They all signed agreements, man. When plans for expanding the drug operations or reporting on past progress was presented, the presentations were made jointly by the Ministries of Defense and Interior. In the late 1950s, a number of particularly important organizations were formed. This is back in the 50s, so you can see how long this is a two-generation drug problem. The departments of special propaganda and intelligence administrations. These departments reported jointly. Let me see. I want to skip some of this here. Propaganda was run by, they had propaganda. We call that advertising. Propaganda was run by the Central Committee's Department for Propaganda. That makes sense. Both East European and Soviet scientists participated heavily in military and intelligence research and development, including the development, production, and analysis of the consequences of drugs and narcotics usage. Now, you notice, if you ever see movies about drug slavery, it's always girls are always kept under a nice dose of heroin. That keeps them working, and it keeps them subdued. So if they can do that to a girl, they can do it to a boy, they can do it to a guy with military potential. In the academy, the primary activities were conducted at the Charles Medical University and the Medical College at Bratislava. In the military, the primary focus was provided by the Health Administration and performed at the Central Military Hospital, the Military Medical Education Center, where doctors were trained, and the Air Force Medical Center. The Academy of Sciences were governed by 1-5-year and long-term 15-year plans, consisted of two parts, a regular part and a top-secret element. The participants involved in putting together the top-secret part outside the Academy of Sciences was another department, and it lists all the departments, and which tells you this is one government, one plan, all departments are privy to it. Plans and objectives for research and development of improved drugs and narcotics. That's to say, drugs that would be more rapidly addictive, easier to manufacture, and which would offer improved long-term debilitating mental effects. Debilitating mental effects. Remember when Sammy the Bull Gravano turned state's evidence against John Gotti? And he told everybody how many people he killed. And they said, okay, because you're such a good guy and you turned on Gotti, we're going to give you a new identity. He goes, okay, make me a drug dealer in what state? Arizona. He was doing crystal meth out there. He was manufacturing it. Of course, they didn't make him a drug dealer, but it was easy pickings for him. He went right into business. Were contained in the top secret segment of the plans. Analysis of the effects of drugs and narcotics trafficking. That's market analysis. So these guys, they do feasibility studies. The highest party school granted PhDs in a wide variety of subjects, including physical and social sciences. 60% of the schooling consisted of Marxism-Leninism, and 40% focused on the student's field of specialization, for example, biology. So this is pretty much what's going on in American universities. You're getting 60% of Marxism-Leninism, and the rest is a school study, including a condom practice. These institutes were convenient locations for analytical programs, and if you're good, you get to go on spring break and work for BEADS down in Louisiana. Because they were specially funded, had ready access to libraries, and also had access to research facilities, the principal research was conducted by the faculty. There was also joint research teams from Soviet bloc countries. These were usually directed by the Soviet participant. I got 1 minute left, so I'll tell you what I'm doing. We're almost finished this chapter. I will start it next time we meet, which may not be tomorrow night, but it will be sometime soon. I'm going to close with a song to remind you that you're an American, and never forget that you're an American, and if anybody's making you ashamed to be an American, punch them in the nose. So let me see what we're going to play for you here. Oh, my goodness. Ah, I got a good one. Well, I thought I had it, but it's not playing. Keep a little circle up the drugs. The best way to see drugs is never do the first one. Beach Boys, virgins, drug virgins, when they wrote that song. I bet you that was the last time they had a pure feeling. Good night, guys.